Leadership development exists because none of us are perfect, fully realized people. We all have room for growth in our lives, and we need help along the way. Hi, and welcome to Developing Imperfect Leaders.
Because the last time I checked, we're not Jesus.
This podcast is a project of the Leadership Development Institute at Hope Community Church, intended to help you explore and grow your leadership skills for service both inside and outside the church. I'm your host, Paul Stiver, and I'm joined by my co-hosts and fellow LDI staff team members, Kaylin Larson.
Hi.
And Natty Severson.
Hi. I was doing so well during that, but I can see why you guys got the giggles, because we were actually having a particularly serious talk about what people who don't like Cheez-Its or Pringles.
Oh my gosh. And, we do need to air this, actually.
Oh, we really do. Gosh, we got to get this out of here. I wish I would have thought of this for a Would You Rather commercial question, yeah. But Kaylin does not like Cheez-Its or Pringles, except the red Pringles.
The worst Pringles.
The worst Pringles.
How are they the worst? They're just like Cheez-Its, the most normal flavor with salt.
Objectively, the worst Pringles.
Cheez-Its is like America's sweetheart of snacks.
And Cheez-Its are just...
And Cheez-Its snack?
You gotta be kidding
me. Oh my goodness.
I don't even know what a Cheez-Its snack is.
They're amazing. So they're the sour cream and onion version, which you also
is
hate.
Cheez-Its I don't snack even like just like different them. Flavors or what? Or are they like thinner?
No, they're
like,
different.
They have like a little twist in them and they're thinner. But don't
they're
worry.
Like somewhere between a Cheez-It
and a find a way to hate them.
Yeah, I'm sure you
do. I would because I don't like Cheez-Its. I don't
Whatever.
Gosh, what's the other?
Take a back seat. I got
most a question. Most of our listeners
and like,
tuned out.
Chex Mix also do not like Chex Mix or Gardetto's.
Okay, before I do have a real question for us.
So is there anything you like at all? Like no. Just generally.
Well,
like,
we're about to find two things that she probably doesn't like, but you have to pick one. Thus is the game, Would You Rather? And this is my department now. So, just in case you didn't hear the last podcast, we switched from telling fun facts about ourselves to doing a game of Would You Rather to kick off the podcast. And don't try to make a link between the Would You Rather and the topic. I am not that clever. I just picked the funniest Would You Rathers I could find on the internet. And so this is what I found on the internet. So credit to the internet for this idea. Would you rather, and you have to pick one, for the rest of your life, adopt a British accent every time you were having a serious conversation, or laugh every time someone else cries. So these are your things. So you have to choose. So you either laugh every time. So anytime Addie cries.
I kind of do that all the time.
Anytime.
A kid crying is hilarious.
Yeah. Anytime
so
at all you cry, or anytime you're like, you're in a meeting with somebody for work.
I know my answer.
Okay, so adopt the British accent every time. I mean, okay, go ahead.
I would do that one. Because I like, as much as like I laugh when people fall, like if somebody's crying because like someone they dearly loved passed away, if I had to laugh at that, I would be mortified. And so I would much rather.
So it's all about you.
I know it is. My last two would you rathers were how. No, it's more like how would someone like feel?
Yep.
And so if I have to adopt a British accent when I'm in conflict.
Every time you're in a serious conversation.
Yeah. That's
so
fine.
You would have had to be British during that Cheez-Its because we got really serious about that.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it lightens the mood.
Yeah, it lightens the mood. Oh, wait, was that even British? I don't know if I can do.
I didn't even know you were trying to do
British.
That's just how I talk. Did you say good day, mate?
I would, yeah, that's almost Australian.
That is Australian.
So here, I didn't say good day, mate. But I think the answer is the British. And here's why. I think generally people have a bias that a British accent implies intelligence. I think we just all kind of a little bit assume British accent, someone smarter. Like if you listen to a lecture and the person's British, you're like, they're kind of smart.
He went to Oxford. She went to
obviously versus like my Wisconsin accent, right?
Cambridge.
So you're in the serious conversation, but you turn British in your accent. I think you're winning way more of these, not this argument all the time, but like, I think you're seeming more intelligent in these important discussions that we're having.
I wish I was an actor right now so I could go full British in my love of Pringles.
Sure.
So I'm not.
You want to give it a go?
I will just embarrass myself. I know that the British call chips crisps. That's all I can remember.
And flashlights, torches.
A French fries are chips.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's kind of a cool move. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Torches.
All right.
Fish and chips.
Natty, did you have an answer for this one?
Yeah, I was going to go with the British accent every time, just for that reason. People would look at you like, have you lost your mind? And especially, it'd be especially funny if you couldn't explain.
No,
ever.
I have
not. Even if they answered, you'd be like, what are you talking about? I have no idea. I just did that. Oh, and you just immediately, once like, the conversation's over, you snap back to American English.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the crying.
Right.
Oh, well, the crying's even more cringy.
Yeah.
But some people do have a nervous laugh and you sort of ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't know what to do when hard things happen, so they'll have a nervous laugh. But I see Paul glancing at our clock, which tells me it's time to move on.
We can't just live in banter as much as I would love to. We do need to get into...
I didn't know we labeled it personal banter.
Do you, well, you don't remember declaring it?
Wall.
You did.
No, we just...
I do remember declaring it.
I said banter. Yeah. I didn't add that personal. Oh. All right. Well, that was a pointless 30 seconds for you, the listener. Let's get into the leading question. Here's the question for today's episode, which is this: how can I know when to ask for help? And I'll start. And I always like to talk through this in this way. So you know the word overwhelmed? Right, we have this idea of like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm in over my head. I'm overwhelmed. And then I think we also have the word underwhelmed, right? Like this, that was kind of like, I watched that movie.
What movie is this? Have you ever just been whelmed?
Yeah, that's why I was, thanks. There goes my punchline. And actually, you really illustrate the point. Because now the listener is whelmed because you ruined my punchline. Yep. So that's great. That's great. Kaylin is about to laugh for the next 4 minutes. So
Kaylin does have a way of just killing the joke.
There is this reality.
At least the public can hear it now.
Of being whelmed, right? And I think the reason I bring those categories up, underwhelmed, whelmed, overwhelmed, is when you know you should ask for help is when you feel overwhelmed. I think far too often we sit in the feelings of overwhelmed, and those feelings, not that life is all about our feelings and assuaging those feelings, but when we're feeling overwhelmed, it means alleviating.
It's from the movie 10 Things I Hate About You.
Nice. I think I saw that once.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Anyway, so I guess it's not an original thought. That's fine. When you're feeling overwhelmed, if I go to Austin, who's in the room with us, our sound engineer and overall just guru in general, that snaps from Kaylin there. He's going to edit those out. But when I go to Austin, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, he shares some of that with me. So I ask for help when I'm feeling overwhelmed. Another one that's helpful is when you're feeling stuck, like you're working on a problem, you have something going on that you are like, I just am not making progress here. And here comes overwhelmed feelings again, but like, I don't know if I can. It's so nice to just go to somebody and say, can you help me think about this? Can you help me process this? And then the last one I would say is we are in a time now where we believe very strongly in technique, kind of our ability to, if I just do enough research, spend enough time thinking about a topic, I can figure it out. And I just advocate for, that's not always the case. And it can be really helpful in kind of combining my answers to go to someone and say, you know more about this. Can I tap into what you know instead of trying to just figure it out on my own? So I kind of rambled for a while there, but other thoughts on how can I know when to ask for help?
Can we just pause on something you said there? Because I think you like struck on something good and I don't want to forget it. It's that if you are feeling overwhelmed, where do you think people are? That would be a good sorter question for where you are. Would you rather click an internet link or find a trusted voice that you could talk to you? And if you're in the, man, I'd prefer an internet link, I think this episode is particularly for you because I know it's good to think about who you can go to that's not the internet to begin to like help you when things are overwhelming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, I wrote the answer to my question here as I started off thinking about younger Natty, which I often do. And I was thinking back to younger Natty and I'm not talking about like pre-coming to Jesus when I was 19 Natty. I'm talking about like young adult Natty, just simply younger Natty, that I just didn't ask for help. I was really, really bad at it to my own detriment. But at the time, I didn't see it that way. I just saw it as this like, I am omnicompetent. I'm talented. I can get things done. God has gifted me. Even if I put some spiritual language around it that made me feel like it was okay.
sure.
to not need other people or to not really give my heart. And we're talking about, I was married, I had kids. And so yet I could still keep a distance to my need for other people. And so I tended to, when things got really dire, I was really, really overwhelmed. I mean, it had to be really, really overwhelmed. I would do one of two things. I would either act like they were doing me a favor by helping me out, or I was doing them a favor by letting them help me out. You know, yuck. I look back and I'm like, it's not healthy, but man, I guess we all get to hear it on the internet now on a podcast. Or I got angry, like generally angry. And then I waited for others to notice and insert themselves. And then I'm like, well, I didn't ask for help. And clearly the people who loved me and knew me saw it as my cry for help. And they knew sure. that it was me asking for help. But what a ridiculous way that was to make a plea for help. Because if I was angry, I was having this like strong emotion. At least I wasn't weak. You know, mm-hmm. in my mind, mm-hmm. anger equated mm-hmm. to strength, not weakness, which is, of course, a total lie. I know I'm kind of rambling here. But I said, how can I know when I need to ask for help? I went on a numbering system.
I did too. I thought of Paul.
You go first. Then you tell yours and I'll see how mine relates.
No, go ahead.
No, I want you to go.
Well, mine kind of just go with what Paul had said.
Go ahead.
I said, do you feel overwhelmed by the tasks at hand? And then would you like someone that you can bounce ideas off of? So like you're not alone in the project. And they can just even play a smaller role. I don't want you to think of like, oh, you're using them, but more like how can like another person be just a resource, or you guys be a resource to one another as you are working on this project or going through a situation, just so that you might not be carrying as much responsibility. But it's very humbling to ask for help. I have a very hard time doing it too. And so like, as you're talking, I'm like, yep. And it's probably more at home than it is at work. It is at work, but I feel like I can go to you very easily if I need help. But I feel like I have to do it all at home.
Mm, yeah. There's nobody else to ask at home, right?
Well, I could ask her. I'm like, I can do it.
Yeah. Quick question. Where was the numbering in there? Just
one. There was one and two.
Two.
Not a monster list, but.
That is not what I meant, but great.
What did you mean?
It was a list. I said, imagine there's a scale of overwhelmedness to one being barely, barely overwhelmed.
So you're just
and a 10 being like, no, one is barely overwhelmed.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And so zero would be whelmed.
This is an overwhelmedness scale.
Yeah, it's an overwhelmedness scale. Zero being whelmed, one being, I'm tipping over, and 10 being like, woo, 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 5 alarm fire, right? Like, so.
What is that? Are you
partying? Trying to parse out what that sound effect was as well. Those were alarms for the listener.
Did you guys want to
say those were alarms?
I wanted to do, ooh, ooh,
that's
ooh,
what I thought. Like, raise the roof. Like,
I hope you watch video like, on this
one. We're clubbing. We're out night clubbing.
I was never a clubber. That might not surprise you at all. All right. So for most Americans, I would say that they should ask for help sooner than they actually do. Like, we're this individualist freedom country, right? Where we're like, man, I got this, right? Rugged individualism or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say we might typically ask for help when things are like an 8 out of 10. Right. But when we ask for help at an 8 out of 10, we kind of describe it as a 4 out of 10.
Yep.
Right. Because we don't want to be too needy. So we describe it as a 4 out of 10. And so when we do that, we don't actually get the type of help we need or the amount of help we need. So people don't hear it as something that's nearing 5 alarm fire. So they're like, well, I don't want to overwhelm them with my advice or help. They described it as a 4. So I'm going to believe them. And so they don't. And so when we have that fear of being imperfect, we front a lot.
Yep.
And so I would say, when should we ask for help on my scale? Maybe when things are a 2 or a 3, we begin to talk about it. So I might come to you when they're a 2 or a 3. You have an idea that there's an actual problem. And then if you could offer me encouragement, pray for me, offer maybe advice, should it be warranted, right? But when I come to you at an 8, we're already so far down the road that it's like, whoa, how many things can we turn around? And we're going to have to dig out of a big hole, right? So I think that for me, that scale really helps. And then when I'm meeting with people and they express a problem or a struggle with sin, I have to ask a bunch of questions to really parse out if it's actually a 4 they're describing or they mean it's an eight. And oftentimes they mean it's an eight. And so if I just can ask enough questions and get them talking, start to hear like, oh, so this is, you know, this is impacting your every day.
Yeah, right.
Like you think about this a lot. Oh, okay. Let's talk about that. And so we can eventually get to the bottom. Mm. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a great scale.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we do have this, just to kind of round out this one, we do have this idea that like if I come to someone with the truth of where I'm at, so if I come to you with the eight, I'm at an eight, that's somehow exposing weakness and inability mm-hmm, with
for
me.
For sure.
And so therefore I have to present the four. And it's like, what if though, instead of like fearing that, we just realize we're human.
Yep.
And we have these areas. It's like, I don't know it all. I couldn't figure it all out. I need help, right? But that's, I guess, the point.
So I am imperfect. Sin does have a real impact on me. And when those combined, I become overwhelmed. And I can become quickly overwhelmed.
Yeah. Right. This is actually pretty normal. So let's get into that, because I think that bridges well into the quote of the week, which comes from a devotional titled New Morning Mercies by author Paul David Tripp. And he writes, "Our problem is our delusions of strength that keep us from seeking the grace that strengthens us in our weakness. We just don't like to be weak. We don't like to think of ourselves that way, and we don't want others to see us that way. So we act as if we know things that we don't know, and we don't ask the questions we need to ask. We act as if we can handle things that we can't handle, and we don't seek the help that's available. We act as if we've conquered things that we have not conquered, and we don't reach out for help for the battle. It is all a failed quest for the self-congratulatory glory of independence."
Woo-wee.
Wow. What jumps out to you about that quote?
I mean, I was punched in the gut. So I don't know if you guys felt that way, but
that last
I was like,
burning.
How is he reading me right now? Like, he's just like ripping off my Band-Aid of pride and just like exposing where I sin. So we definitely do not have it all together. And I think he's trying to show us that of like, we are weak and that it's okay because Christ is strong. We do need help. And that is okay because like we have been made for community and like ultimate community with Christ and God and the Spirit. And so it's like, I just see my sin bleeding from this quote.
This one is that last one. It is all a failed quest for the self-congratulatory glory of independence. I was like, ugh, I feel that. I still feel that tug, even after doing years of work to like express my need for other people, to really let myself need other people, to put myself out there, to experience vulnerability, right? After all these years, I still feel that like I want to be able to self-congratulate. And I've never thought of it that way. I want to be able to pat myself on the back and say, good job, Natty, which is ridiculous, right? Like when I think about it. But the thing that came to mind to me when I read this quote was actually, and we are imperfect leaders, so we're talking about leaders, is that middle bit. We act as if we know things that we don't know, and we don't ask the questions we need to ask. We act as if we can handle things that we can't handle, and we don't seek the help that's available. And it dawned on me that this is a big part of our small group leaders orientation. When we have new small group leaders come on, Kaylin and I take them through a new leader orientation, and it's really just like an hour and a half, if we can stick the landing, on what is Hope's model for small groups and what can they kind of expect from leadership. So it's not like a teach you how to be a small group leader. It's more like vision casting. And one of the things we talk about is you're not on a black ops mission as a small group leaders. We didn't just drop you into like enemy territory and say, good luck. Should you get caught?
Forget your name.
Yeah. A Mission Impossible kind of thing, right? You're not in a Mission Impossible kind of thing. You're on the front lines. Certainly you're experiencing the day-to-day grind of being with people, but it is that it's front lines, and behind those front lines is assistance. It's the things you need. And so don't do that, because that's going to get you into trouble. I, as like the small groups director for the past 16 years, don't know everything. I find myself surprised by different situations. Mm-hmm. And I think about this more than anyone in theory, right? And I still find that I need help in this. And so to say that any young small group leader, any new small group leader wouldn't need help, I try to just really debunk that myth that you should know everything in order to either, like, I have to know so much that I'll never screw up, or even if I don't know it, I have to pretend I do so I think I fit in this crowd of people. Nope. Real leaders ask for help. Real leaders say when they don't know. Mm-hmm. Real leaders are vulnerable about the things that they don't know and they need.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yeah. That last line again, it's all a failed quest for the self-congratulatory glory of independence. It's just such a good, it just hits the spot because you think, if I have to ask for help, that means I don't get full credit. You know what I mean? Like if I figured it out, if I solved it, if I put it all together, then I get the full credit. I did it. It was me, which is very much kind of, it's crazy because we live in this time, this era. I always think about it with house projects where I can typically just Google or YouTube how to do what I don't know how to do. And yeah. Then it's very easy to like feel like if I pull it off, then I figured it out. I did it all. But I do think this this just puts forward kind of what reveals something about us all, which is that we have this unhealthy view of independence and that we want to exist as if we don't need people. And it's just not true. And what it ultimately comes out of, I think, is a wrong view of self and what it actually means to be human, right? Like that I'm supposed to have it all figured out on my own. And I think in an individualistic society like ours, that's very much what we think we should do. I remember having a roof project and I felt like I had to figure it all out. And then the breakthrough for me was like, oh, I actually have a connection, a friend who does this. He like, it works in construction. I should just ask him. And then he was the most encouraging guy and he did most of the work. I helped a little. And so it was just kind of a wild thing. But yeah, the outcome of when we think it's all on our shoulders is we just end up feeling overwhelmed. And how quickly it would be to solve things if we just went and said, you know what, I'm not meant to be able to figure it all out. Let me ask for help, which hopefully leads us into now our growing together. Again, every episode we want to think about how can imperfect leaders grow? And so what are some practical ways that an imperfect leader can lose their independent streak and start asking for more help?
I asked myself another question that stemmed from this question is, how do we ask for help?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you remember young Natty was, you know, the
anger
or, sure. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to let you do this favor by allowing you to come into my life.
Yeah.
How do we ask for help? And so I thought about three not good ways to ask for help. But then I thought I would ask you guys to answer what's a good way to ask for help? So the three tough ways I called it the aggressive, which is like me. Like I'm just going to vent anger or like just whine about it incessantly. The aggressive. You know, I'm putting it out there so much that you know
right.
that it is. And not in a way that's just flatly explains what's happening, but in a way that's like, it's sort of like passive aggressive, but it's aggressive. Or it's the passive aggressive. Like you kind of like, it's that sitcom mom kind of trope of like, yeah, if only I had children who loved me. You know, like that kind of thing, right? The passive aggressive that us Minnesotans or Midwesterners are kind of classically good at. Mm-hmm. Or the fatalist, which is I'm going to go sit in a corner and face the corner and not say anything until somebody potentially notices that I'm stuck in a corner forever. And then why haven't my friends or people noticed that I'm face in a corner? Can't they see how badly I'm hurting? Like, what is a good way to ask for help?
Yeah. One thing that came to mind was knowing what you have like expertise or skill at and knowing what others do. So you can go to someone and say, I come to the end of myself. I realize I'm not good at graphic design. I can't think visually or like put images together, but I do know people that are like really gifted at that. So instead of sitting on Canva for 2 hours trying to create a design, what if I just said, hey, help me think through, or like, what should I be looking to put together? Or could you even do this for me or help me do this? You know, so that just that idea of like, know yourself, know expertise, and then ask for help when someone has expertise. Okay, what are your thoughts?
I think I'm growing in knowing how to ask for help. Because I'm not fatalist, but I could be whiny if I need help. So I'm learning from you guys.
Yeah, there is a good way. And I think it's just to be direct, to honestly explain. I'm a 2 out of 3. I'm a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I've liked that language a lot.
2 out of 3. I'm a 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
A 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
an 8 out of 10, mm-hmm. right? It just honestly explain it and here's why. And it doesn't need to be fueled by anger. It doesn't need to be fueled. You might feel frustrated, but you don't need to vent your frustration out on somebody else. I think that's really common too. Like if I blurt my frustration out at Kaylin in a really, then she's going to infer it and then she's going to help me. Mm-hmm. Right. So
things I did think about was like, I think, it's something you have to practice because like this isn't a natural thing for us. And so how do you practice in asking for help? And it can be with like a very, I mean, I say menial, but I don't want you to be using that person either. But like, how can you bring someone into it? How can, I also wrote down like, asking the Lord to reveal where you might need help. Because like, if you're so overwhelmed with your feelings, you might not be able to even like sort out where you might need help. And so it's like, okay, Lord, help me, like, help me to see where can I ask someone for help in this? Because I just like feel so clouded right now. And so, those are two things I thought of and I have tried to like implement.
That's really good. Yeah. And I think you kind of teed this up earlier, Kaylin, but just to kind of put a bow on the spiritual side of things, if I'm really understanding and believing the gospel, there's this, when I am weak, he is strong component, like you said. And I think we fear, oh, I just can't be weak. But it's like, that's where we actually tap into grace. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, my weakness is, the end of myself is actually where he is, mm-hmm. right? That's where Jesus is. And so there's something about like when we actually encounter the gospel and we realize I need the ultimate help. I need a savior. I couldn't do anything to save myself. I need a savior to come in and do everything I couldn't do. That kind of creates a posture of humility, maybe to kind of close with like a broader framework that like now I actually am willing to, because I know I'm okay and I know it wasn't all about what I did. I'm actually far more willing to turn and look at others and say, here's where I'm struggling. Here's where I'm overwhelmed. Here's where I'm stuck. Can you help me? And I don't have to fear rejection from them or my own insecurity, because at the end of the day, I am okay in Jesus. Well, that wraps up our conversation for today, but we want to keep connecting with you. So thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you like what you heard, be sure to follow our show and leave a review. We love connecting with our listeners. So if you have questions, comments, or topic ideas, please email us ldi@hopecc.com. LDI is a ministry of Hope Community Church based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We seek to develop leaders in their biblical thinking, Christ-like character, and ministry skills for service both inside and outside the church. We do this through internships, classes, seminars, and retreats. If you're interested in learning more about our internships or other opportunities, visit ldi.hopecc.com or email ldi@hopecc.com. Have a great week.